Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A revolution on Sunset. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
I'm going to take you back to the swinging 60s.
Ooh!
Specifically, November 12th, 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset Boulevard, the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles.
California.
A little place called Pandora's Box,
Ooh. Which
is sort of made famous or recreated in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood from Quentin Tarantino. So they did a kind of remade that. But it has a very significant part of counterculture. Protest, and I feel like now's a great time to always. It's always
protest
a great time to talk about
relevant.
Protest. And people did not like to be told they had a curfew.
No,
in even 1966, where you think like, all right, the Beatles did their last concert, so they're even kind of going kind of like hippie psychedelic. But it's you know, it's not even 1967 yet. You know, so we're not even like deep, but we're getting there.
Mm-mm.
People wanted to live loud.
They did.
Live proud.
Well, do you remember we had a curfew back in March?
Yeah. We were doing the podcast and we were trying
to
finish an episode.
People, again, it feels like the suppression of human rights to have a curfew.
Apparently, the suits didn't like what was going on Sunset Boulevard. A bunch of teens. Bunch of rock and rollers,
mm-hmm.
bunch of hippies,
Ooh.
And we're not even really super deep in the, you know, 1966, it's like it's starting to get a little shaggy.
Yeah.
But 1966, things started to come to a boil on Sunset Boulevard. So the Vietnam War is making people very upset. You know,
yes.
The bodies are being shipped home. Music was, you know, becoming a tool for the revolution.
Yeah.
I know people now go, I can't believe Rage Against the Machine is talking about politics. Why can't you just stick to music? It's like, that's literally the purpose of that. So I feel like there's music. It's like, hey, Bob Dylan, hey, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, why don't you just stick to music and don't get political?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Woody Guthrie, which is a little earlier. I always think about Woody Guthrie because, you know, it was his guitar said this guitar fights fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody talking about seeing someone at a, like probably a Starbucks, and on their MacBook,
said
this computer, whatever it is, this machine fights fascism.
Oh,
it's like,
God, that's awful. That's awful.
I know. I just wanted
right next to it's Trenta Starbucks Jasmine Refresher.
Yeah. So
what a hero.
Yeah. Ugh. And he's like, this script that I hope to make a lot of money on.
Uh-huh.
And
this rom-com fights fascism.
And there's a culture war going on in the world, and especially in Los Angeles, you know, big city, because, you know, people of the old guard are like, hey, I don't like what's going on. That doesn't happen now.
Never. No.
No.
There's, never heard
everyone
of it.
Is kind of like, hey, listen,
Mm-mm.
the youth are the future. And
times
are changing, and we are just going to go along with the change.
Yeah, totally. I'll listen to every tweet, and I'll take it literally, and I will follow it to a T.
Yeah, I mean, this could be happening on Facebook right now.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities are involved. You got celebrities kind of like saying, hey, I'm Peter Fonda. I'm down with what's going on, what the kids are saying.
Yeah, Peter Fonda's down.
And 8118 Sunset Boulevard, Pandora's box is kind of where on November 12th, 1966, things really kind of came to a head. So it was an alcohol-free club, Pandora's Box. So a lot of young
alcohol-free.
Yeah. So it was wasn't even, but it was a haven for kids.
Yeah.
Nobody's spending a lot of money in the surrounding area, so it's bad for business. Mm-hmm. Whether it's bankers or people that have real estate or restaurants, these kids, beside taking a lot of space, making a lot of noise, they weren't spending a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line. And they wanted to get rid of Pandora's Box because it was down Sunset, probably somewhat past the whiskey, maybe towards Crescent Heights. Mm-hmm. If I think, you know, so it was in a pretty pivotal place. I think right now what's there is you could see a CVS. You probably notice yeah. you see it. It's a kind of vacant.
I think it's like the Counter Burger.
It's something like that. Yeah. So it you know, it came to fruition what they wanted. And so a lot of Los Angeles and a lot of places in the United States and the world. And they wanted to squeeze it out. And how you squeeze it out is impose a curfew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if they're not out with the curfew, the businesses can't stay in business. Mm-hmm. They have to get sold off.
Yeah.
And they could get rid of it and put up a high rise or whatever they want to do. And that's what they intended on doing.
Yeah.
Previous to that, there was a lot of harassment with police, teens, long hairs, hippies, for just maybe they're loitering at worst. So it was pretty tense. So on November 12, 1966, flyers were passed around. Local DJs were getting the word out that there was going to be protest police mistreatment of youth on Sunset Boulevard. No more shackling of 14 and 15-year-olds. And a call for peaceful protest that night in front of Pandora's Box. And there was anywhere, the counts vary, between 1 and 3,000 teenagers. You had Jack Nicholson, Dennis Hopper, wow. Peter Fonda, Sonny and Cher.
Ooh, Sonny and Cher. You're getting both.
Now you're interested. And they were there in, you know, to kind of speak their piece, kind of get the word out. There was a non-related road rage incident. So that happened right around there. That got everyone heated. And then the police just showed up.
Oh, man.
Because I think at first the police were pretty cool with what's going on because it wasn't necessarily – people say this is, you know, is it truly a riot? Is it not? Mm-hmm. Who's to say? It's a matter of opinion what you think a riot is. If you even look at news today, what is a riot? What's not a riot? There were 150 LAPD ready, 79 sheriff's deputies, tear gas, batons, kind of turning everything inside out. Yeah. And then the group Community Action for Facts and Freedom, CAFF, they organized a benefit concert to raise bail money. People got arrested, property damage, and the kind of to support the unofficial counterculture safe haven, which was that part of the Sunset Strip. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan is now governor, so you know that doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Business licenses were withdrawn, and without those business licenses, you can't continue.
No, you can't do it. Especially, like, I've been reading about, actually, I'll probably do an episode on this later, the Chateau Marmont and the history behind that.
Yeah.
Huge, like, this book is, like, full of stuff. But a point that they make, places got away with not having business licenses or skewing it or, like, letting things lapse. If you're on the Sunset Strip, you're dead. If you don't have all of the proper things in order. Like, they were so on lockdown in that part, like, from the 20s, honestly, until now.
And the Sunset Strip is, you know, obviously notorious for being wild, you know?
Yeah.
You know, especially with, like, hair metal and rock and roll in the 80s. And, you know, even now, I mean, sure, now it's a lot less. There's just a lot of, you know, the billboards are...
And now it's kind of like a big marketing billboards. Area.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much it is a lot of... What's and, on Netflix?
Exactly. A couple of production offices, but it's not quite the legendary, like, hot spot it was, but it still has a lot of the history involved in it. And you can kind of see and envision as you go down it, where all this happened, how it happened, what it kind of looked like.
Well, unfortunately, the next year, Pandora's Box closed. It succumbed to the pressures. Now, there's a Buffalo Springfield song, For What It's Worth, and that is probably one of the anthems of the counterculture, and people kind of attributed it to what was going on in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It applied, but it was actually related and written directly as a response to the Sunset curfew riots of 1966.
I love that song.
You're going to sing us a few bars?
Me?
Yeah.
For you guys? No, you don't pay for that.
You would pay not to hear it. Listen, if you want to not hear us do karaoke cover songs with no music, you'll find that all at patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Bonus episodes, supports the show, but also no a cappella of singing 60s counterculture songs.
I will mercifully spare you.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.
Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.